Are all batteries the same? That's like asking if all soccer players are the same. Take Messi, the most decorated player ever. Is there any other player who has achieved that? No, just him. Now take Duracell. Is there any other battery with power-boost ingredients inside? No, just Duracell. Remember, goats only trust goats because they're built different. And Messi only trusts Duracell.
This episode is brought to you by Google Health. Stop chasing someone else's definition of health. What matters is what's healthy for you. Google Health offers a new kind of coach built with Gemini for effortless tracking, sleep insights, and holistic coaching tailored to you. Visit googlestore.com to learn more and start a new relationship with your health. Requires Google account, Google Health app, internet, and Google Health premium subscription. Features subject to change. Availability and results vary. Not intended for medical purposes. Works independently of Gemini apps. Check responses for accuracy.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
If LeBron decides to drag it on into August.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What is the timeline on getting an answer?
I wish I knew, man. I want to go on vacation.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Notre Dame quarterback C.J. Carr. Coming up, Apple TV lead MLS analyst Taylor Twellman. Academy Award winner Matt Damon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Taylor Twellman's going to join us shortly to talk about what we saw in the World Cup. And we found out last night there's only one person on planet Earth who doesn't know the gender of Shohei Ohtani, and it's Mike Tyson. Didn't have that on the old
not at all.
List.
That was wild.
Okay. You're off mic. He's like, Shohei's a guy. You heard that one? Did you see that one last night on the ESPN stage?
I heard about it. Yeah. I didn't see it live.
You can see it? Jim Abbott's speech. Please seek it out. That was awesome. In getting the Jimmy V Award for Courage. It's great, man. Those speeches, when delivered from the heart, and most of them are. But everyone should check out Jim Abbott's speech. That was awesome. And I haven't been to the ESPYs since, probably the last ESPY Awards I went to was probably 2002. All the Knicks showed up and all the Knicks won.
Oh.
That's odd. They even had Fat Joe ready to start serenading them when they came up to the stage for winning best team. What's the matter?
Fat Joe with the Yankees, it's mush.
He certainly wasn't mushing on the Knicks.
I know that, but
it's like, Knicks in five.
You don't want him in the Yankee Stadium.
I found it. Did you find it? Did you not see any of this stuff?
I did not see any of it.
Carl Anthony Towns delivered the speech.
Okay.
With all the Knicks up there.
Wow.
The only thing that Brunson – this is great. We have the only thing that Brunson said, right? We got that? Go ahead and roll it.
You may see someone is missing up here. I want to say thank you to the ESPYs for pulling Josh Hart's invite.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all, ESPYs, so much. We really appreciate that. I'll say thank y'all from all my teammates, and I hope this trophy, especially here in New York, getting this trophy shows the word love. The love of each other and this team is what got us through the humps in December when we weren't playing our best basketball. The love of the fans is what got us back down 29 at home. Yes, yes. And as also, I think this war shows the love of New York, because the love of New York made this whole journey and this whole accomplishment of winning a championship worth it. So thank you, New York. Thank you to the fans. Thank you to the organization for giving us this chance and believing in us. Shout out. And always, Knicks in five.
Yeah.
They're going to have that for the rest of their life.
Oh, baby. You are not wrong. Kid born in Edison. Grew up in Piscataway, Mikey D.
Yes.
Went to high school in Metuchen, New Jersey.
What was the Josh Hart bit?
Hart wasn't there, so he must have had something else he was doing. And so
I didn't know if it was a gag or something.
You know,
well, with those,
you know,
guys,
Hart, those two guys.
That's what I mean, I'm sure there was a gag.
It's just seeing the Knicks likable on the stage and
makes me sick.
I know that. I get it. Which, by the way, makes me delighted. And but to see Cat be the one to grab that award and speak on behalf.
That is cool.
It's pretty cool,
yeah,
man. That is cool. Because again, his arrival was not heralded by a lot of Knicks fans who were like, wait a minute, we're sending Julius Randle away? And you remember what I said when I was here? I'm like, I get it, Knicks fans. Like, you love Randle. We love Randle. What Randle did in being a self-made guy and him and Brunson together were supposed to be the duo. And they trade him away for Karl Anthony Towns, who has that reputation for being soft. And then last year, the Knicks don't get past the Pacers. And now look at him. By the way, Karl Anthony Towns, one of my favorites here. And that speech, I think, was one of his best performances since sending T.J. Jefferson flower after flower and balloon after balloon, trolling him for his Cowboys losing to Cats Eagles. So
I like to try to forget this ever happened.
I don't. Oh, no. And T.J.'s face in the six.
I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, he's growing up before our eyes, huh?
You know, he also, pre-show, Cat also gave out, and this is the first time I've ever seen this,
yes,
they had a best trading card award.
Oh, really?
That he gave out, yeah.
Okay, so and who won?
It was a hockey player. I can't now the name, but there was a one of one.
Arch Manning?
Yeah. No, it was not. But there was a one of one autographed Shohei Aaron Judge card, which I thought would have won, and it didn't win. I'm like, how? There was no card out of these that could be better.
No, that's so sad.
Oh, is this, by the way, because you know there's a relationship between the ESPYs and Fanatics? Mm-hmm. Is that part of
well,
that?
Well, Cat has his own, like, you know, he call, I think, called that, Big Bodegas Breaks. But so he's very into trading cards, and yeah, and it has to do with.
But it would make sense that if Fanatics is now involved, that all of a sudden you're seeing an ESPY for best trading card.
Yeah, it was
best merch.
I've seen it.
Best white party. I don't know what else. Where else are we going?
Well, there's not many to,
okay,
white party. I wear black to all white parties.
But yeah, that was the ESPYs last night. Oh, and by the way, Marcelo Hernandez, I love
funny
guy.
Here's what I
funny.
Here's what I didn't like. I'm watching all the pre-show stuff, and then, because we're on the West Coast, we have to wait till 8 to watch the actual show. So it was like 3 hours where I was like, all right, I was anticipating this. And then just like,
were you trying not to be having anything spoiled? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. No, it didn't come on till 8.
All right. Got it. Gabriel in Washington.
Gabriel.
He was the one who called in right before the show. How are you, Gabriel? You want to do something, I think. You there, Gabriel?
Gentlemen. How
are you
doing?
Hey.
What up?
Oh.
Sorry. I was taking a nap. I had to wake up.
Whoa.
Sleeping
during the show?
Taking a nap? I fall asleep, too.
Are you? Is that the way you're critiquing the first hour of this program, Gabriel?
Were we that boring?
No. Hey, I know, Rich, that you are the only other person have done the win-loss for the Seahawks.
That's right.
I know that you are slowly waking up to the Seahawks.
Listen, look at, by the way, one of the best comebacks since Argentina right there, where Gabriel's like, first hour, I was sleeping through it. Now you're just okay. Yeah, I had them go 13-4. So you would like to? You are the second person to call in, or first to call in and say you want to do a Seahawks win loss. Give me some of the theme music, please, Mikey. All right, opening night. Still not a fan of this being the opening night game. Man.
I like it. Bears would have been better.
I think so too.
Fine.
Pats at Seahawks to kick off the season on Wednesday night. What do you got for me, sir?
That will be a one-sided affair, my friend.
Patriots
one-sided
big, yeah.
In the Seahawks' favor.
Oh. All right, that's 1-0. Now you're at the Cardinals, week two. 11 days that's later, by the way.
Cake.
Piece of cake, he says. 2-0 at the Commanders.
I got a bad feeling for the Commanders fans. My heart goes out to them. I think RG3 is happening again, but Jaden Daniels, that's a win.
For Seattle, is what you're saying.
Yes, a win for Seattle. Okay. I think, poor Jaden Daniels, I think he's going to.
I don't know. I think he's going to bounce back. But Gabriel, I'm with you. The one thing that the Seahawks have done, you know, habitually over the past couple of years is go on the East Coast and win a 1 o'clock window game that everybody thinks is going to be tough for him. Chargers visit Seattle week four.
Ooh, that's a win.
Okay. 4-0 home for the 49ers.
The reaction, Jay Harbaugh is going down to visit his dad. Yeah, little Harbaugh bowl right there.
What do you got for me when the Niners pay a visit?
Those guys smell like Bengay. That's a win.
Well, then. 5-0 at Denver in a short week. Thursday Night Football on Amazon.
Denver has a tough schedule to start the season. They're going to be on life support. They're going to be desperate, and we're going to knock them out. Denver season is done.
Woo! Gabriel, 6-0. Chiefs now visit on a Sunday night.
Thanks for coming, K-9. We wish you luck, but not tonight. That's a win.
That's a 7-0 start. The Monday nighter at home against the Bears.
The Bears. The Iceman's going to melt. Win.
8-0, home for the Cardinals.
That's cake.
That's a sweep. 9-0 at the Raiders.
The Raiders?
Yep.
That's a win.
10-0. Boy, if they go, they're 10-0 going to San Francisco.
Oh, baby.
What do you got for me?
You know, I got a brother-in-law. I got an uncle. I got a best friend. I got a lot of people in my life that are San Francisco 49ers fans. My neighbor's a San Francisco 49ers fan. The Coastless were 49ers fans. If you can't beat them, buy them. Win. Seahawks.
11-0. Well, that's where they won the Super Bowl in that stadium. 11-0, they've now swept the 49ers and swept the Cardinals. 11-0, Cowboys in Seattle on a Monday night.
Ooh, that's a big ticket. That's a big ticket. Jerry's coming to town. Sorry, Jerry. Win for the Seahawks.
11-0, my goodness, the Giants pay a visit.
Oh, Mike McDonald gets a nice little visit with John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh's going to regret flying out to Seattle. That's the one.
That's now actually, it's now 13-0. You've got a 13-0 Seahawks team visits Philadelphia on the Saturday night of week 15.
Whew. Philly?
Yes.
Tush push? No thanks. The Barnyard is coming to town. A.J. Barner is going to be under center. Goal to go. Touchdown. Barnyard.
This means
put a dub on the board.
The Seahawks, according to Gabriel in Washington, are 14-0 on Christmas night.
Jeez.
When the Rams pay a visit.
Did you guys see the Seahawks, the release of the schedule? They did the cologne commercial.
Yes, I did see that. It was
that was
great.
Pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
The Rams getting Myles Garrett and getting McDuffie and Watson and all these other guys they're bringing in. You know what that smells like? That smells like desperation, brother. That's a 2-point win for
nice.
The Seahawks.
Okay. Good one. 15-0 at the Panthers.
That's a win.
16-0 here in SoFi Stadium, going for a perfect season against the team that everybody's going to be going for. What do you got?
A perfect season. I'm doing what TJ couldn't do yesterday. I'm going out on a limb. Mike McDonald, coach of the year, going to be the greatest season of all time. The respect is coming. Everyone is waking up to the Seahawks, 17-0. Let's
17-0,
go.
Man.
There you go. Gabriel in Washington.
Saying it with my chest.
Wow,
and
that's sure did.
Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Gabriel,
I believe it.
Wow. You know what?
Going through all the
good
drops.
Performance.
Very good. Gabriel in Washington. Ooh.
Even though I caught two strays
there he goes.
For no reason, I like what he did, right?
17-0.
There's no way they're sweeping. Well, people get so mad when fans give their predictions. This is supposed to be fun, man.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
I'm going to this second game.
What happens? Because the Rams are the team that everybody expects to not lose at all, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Because he also did say, you know, McDuffie and Watson and Garrett's coming.
Aaron Donald.
Donald might be there too. And by the way, on the ESPY Awards last night, I mean, Garrett stepping up there on the stage. He's just bigger than most human beings.
Yeah,
and this just in. What happens if the Rams do, in fact, do what we all think, which is not lose, and what Gabriel in Washington thinks as well? And then on Christmas night on Fox, by the way.
Yes.
It's 15-0 versus 15-0. On Christmas night.
I mean, I'm going to that game.
Because the Rams and the Seahawks do not face each other until Christmas night. Two of their last three games
I mean,
are against each other.
Fingers crossed. Let's go.
Could you imagine if that is in fact what happens?
Can I say something? We all think the Rams aren't going to lose. Is that
well? I'm not saying the we in this room. I'm saying the we of the
like. I mean,
the voice are the voices of football.
I mean, are people saying the Rams are going to go undefeated? Am I missing this or just?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yes.
What are you talking?
What do you mean? That's been a conversation since they got Myles Garrett.
Undefeated. Yeah, I guess forgot since we were on break because we weren't talking about it. But like, yeah, undefeated stuff.
And then when 99 returns.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. That's what I mean.
Let's go here.
Oh,
this is fun. This is fun. I'll do my four downs at the end of the hour. What if?
What if I told you?
Donald does return.
Oof.
Does he come midseason?
No.
Ooh, no.
You think you think we'll find out later this month, training camps open here in Southern California. We'll know. You think he's going to go through the whole grind?
What I've been reading and what it seems to be the chatter out there, he doesn't want to do the just sail in and coast to the end. He would be committed. He wants to grind. He's that dude. Yeah, he'll be there for training camp.
Yep.
He was at the facility last week.
Whereas now most people back wouldn't. To you and say, yeah, people think the Rams aren't going to lose a game.
I guess maybe since we didn't talk about it last week, we're on break, I forgot that there was
undefeated. Oh, we could talk about it every week because I'm a passionate Rams fan, according to Cooper Eisen.
Couldn't go better if they go undefeated.
Undefeated, though? Come on. Pump your brakes.
SoFi.
Pump them.
Play in SoFi. But
what if they do, and Gabriel in Washington's right? Because you look at what Seattle can do, right? I had them losing their first game. I had them losing in Denver. I think that's a tall order. Short week. After you've just played the 49ers.
I don't know.
Okay. That's going to be, one would think, a Donnybrook, unless, you know, Seahawks fans are like, well, what happened the last time they were in Seattle? That thing was over on the kickoff. And it was. In the divisional round of the playoffs, by the way. But you're playing the Niners. Okay. Take a look at that. You're playing just from week four. You're playing the Chargers, and you know, Jim is coming to hit you in the mouth, right? Their physical team. Then you've got the Niners. Then you got a short week in Denver. I don't care if your championship pedigree.
KC, Chicago, that little 5-week stretch there is very difficult.
It is. Rough. I had them also losing at home to Chicago. I might be wrong about that one, to be honest. But I also had them losing in San Francisco. And then I had them losing their last game here in Los Angeles. That's it. I have them winning 13 games. That's the difference between what I just said, what Gabriel just said, and what I did, which is had them lose 4. 13-4 is a hell of a record.
2-4.
And they'd be 4-2 in division, and it's a jump ball.
13 wins is going to be in the mix for the one seed.
Yep.
Do you think? How about this? The one seed will also be up in the air. The division will be up in the air, just like the one seed, just like last year, too.
Yeah.
Right? Where it came down to, they had to go to San Francisco to win the division and the one seed.
Yeah, I would think that's very likely.
That the West
is not
division,
not decided
victory. Yep. The banner in the West is also the one seed race.
Yep.
Give me the team that busts that up in the NFC. This is fun. I can't get enough of that. I'm getting my juices flowing, guys.
This season.
Ladies,
I'm drinking that bear juice.
I know what you're going to say. And you might be right.
I got to.
You might be right. Dallas plays Seattle. I mean, Dallas plays Seattle. They play San Francisco too, don't they?
Yeah.
And the Rams. Like,
their schedule's tough. I mean, I know I said
if they win those games, man.
Tough schedule.
This is a tough schedule.
I get it. But they do play the relevant teams. Green Bay, Philadelphia.
I mean, Baltimore.
Their own division, if you think somebody else is coming from it, like Philadelphia, right? And then the West. So they're going to have some head-to-head tiebreak opportunities here. If they win the right games and finish with enough dubs, they can be in the one seed mix too.
That's a hard schedule, man.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to.
Jacksonville, Seattle,
we're going to have to earn it.
Green Bay, sure. Houston, Baltimore, Philly.
Yeah, that is a tough schedule.
That's tough.
The end, not so.
Everybody's got it.
Yeah.
You can look at everybody's schedule and go, oh, they're finished.
That's true. That's, tough schedule.
That's how I feel every time we pop one of these schedules up. I'm like, well, that's kind of tough, too.
Look at us talking ball.
Oof. We're so close.
I'm like, you guys, I don't want the season to get here too soon. Time is moving too fast anyway. I want to enjoy.
No. Season can't get here fast enough. And the only way I want it to slow down is for LeBron James to troll on Chris Brockman on his Instagram feed. That's the only thing I want to slow down.
I'm talking in real life. Time is moving too fast. September will get here when it gets here.
We still have an hour and a half left in this show. Come on, Chris.
Come on. Get aggregated now.
Time is the present.
All right, let me think.
Aggregate now.
Matt Damon's coming up.
Let me think. Look at that.
A bandwagon fan. The biggest insult in sports. But this summer, during the FIFA World Cup, it's an invitation, America. Never watched soccer before? Perfect. Think a corner kick is a karate move? Sure, why not? Prefer sports where players can use their hands? Me too. Just here for the snacks? Now we're talking. So grab a bag of Lay's and jump on the bandwagon. We're undefeated. Lay's, the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Rich Eisen here for Gusto. On my shows, we talk a lot about what happens in the spotlight, the games, the highlights, and the moments that get replayed and debated. But in any successful operation, what happens behind the scenes matters just as much. Small businesses are no different. Payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, and all the details that keep things moving may not be the most visible part of the job, but they still have to be handled right. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup this summer, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent, future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
More often than not, he's going to the goalkeeper's right.
Taylor Twellman joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has just begun. We just chopped up on the Disney Plus side of things. That photograph that made it around social media of Jordan Pickford's water bottle about how he would handle each member of Argentina if they did get to a PK. But obviously, we didn't get to penalties at all. We didn't even get to extra time because stoppage time was Argentina time once again. How do they keep doing it, Taylor? How does that keep happening?
I don't know, Rich. I really don't. To think that in the knockout stage, they have not led after 90 minutes.
Hey, man, they're like the Knicks in the NBA Finals.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Think about it. Like, the game-winning goals have all come after the 92nd minute or whatever the number is. Like, it's crazy to think about the amount of goals that they have scored after the 75th minute. Mm. In this World Cup, there's just an extra 5%, Rich, that you cannot measure, you cannot quantify when you play with the greatest of all time. And what I've noticed with his time with Inter Miami, and I've noticed now watching Argentina over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years in World Cup qualifying, there's just an extra bit of energy. There's an extra bit of belief that you just can't quantify, and you have to play an absolute perfect 90 plus minutes to knock them out. We'll talk about what England did, but the belief they have with number 10 on their side, it's very difficult for me to articulate, for me to quantify, because Rich, you've been doing this a lot longer than me, my man. Sometimes sports, that little bit of extra, you just can't measure. Argentina's got that in spades.
What do you, okay, so there's a few things I want to hit on with you But let's linger on Messi a little bit more here. That cross with his right foot.
Yeah.
Over six English defenders.
Seven.
You include Pickford too, right? So seven, yeah. Right? So to find the one forehead he wanted to find, I can't even fathom it.
I put this out on my social media. There's a picture of right before he hits it.
Yes.
If you are just inside the 18, Rich,
yeah,
there's seven English defenders, Jordan Pickford, and four attacking players from Argentina. Four. And everyone and their mother thinks he's going to his left foot. And he delivers a ball over the head of John Stones, if I'm not mistaken, in the picture,
mm-hmm,
on an absolute dime for any attacking player. It's a dream ball, easy finish. It's wild. It's truly wild. Now, England, come on. You literally played into the hands of Lionel Messi. But Messi had everyone thinking he's cutting into his left, in swinging ball. No, he goes to his right, away from Pickford, catches everyone by surprise. And here we are talking about a comeback from Lionel Messi in Argentina, where he delivers two assists with two wonderful goals, two completely different goals.
Mm-hmm.
And England's sitting there with their heads buried in their hands and maybe in the sand for how they played the final 30 minutes. But a brilliant ball. And listen, he's got over 800 assists in his career. You see why.
Well, England's manager, let's get to that now, Taylor Twellman on the Rich Eisen Show. After the Three Lions score in the 55th minute, what was the strategy? And you're already shaking your head. Is it 2020 hindsight? Or
no.
Walk me through it.
Nope. I think I texted about 10 of my buddies that were watching the game and guys that just asked me, and it's 30 minutes left? No way. No way. What he did is not wrong. When he did it is absolutely unequivocally wrong. And anyone that was watching the game knew that right away. And what's very interesting to me, two points to this. First and foremost, I just made the point he did it too soon. But second, it's way more important to me. After the Norway game, he criticizes the players. They win the game. They go through this battle. He criticizes the players that it's not good enough. They need to be better. Now, after this game, he thinks the question's completely unfair. He doesn't answer the question. And then he deflects and says, no regrets. This is the best game and the only way we can play that game. Whoa, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. Thomas Tuchel was brought in very, very surprisingly for someone like myself and anyone in the world that I live in, a German manager coming in by the English FA because he was thought to be a step above tactically and understanding what it takes in those moments. And he did exactly what every previous English manager did. And that is scared money doesn't make money, Rich. You cannot do that. Why? Why would you have 14% possession after you're up 1-0? Mm. You put all 11 players behind the ball. Harry Kane's playing on top of his 18-yard box, and you say to Messi, go float wide right. You're going to have all the time in the world to see the game, and you're going to find the pass that you need to. I am stunned right now that the English FA has already come out basically and said Thomas Tuchel will be there in the European Championships in 28. I'm not sure, my man. I'm not. And it really bothers me, the ex-player in me, that you want to criticize me in the thick of the battle in Miami, in the heat of the moment, where we grinded out a win and say it's not good enough. But then when it's not good enough from you and the questions are tactically, you deflect and you say no regrets. There's no way, no way he gets away with that. And I don't think he will with the English media. Mm. I don't.
Taylor Twellman here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I kind of think you're right. Again, I'm outside looking in, observing from across the pond, as we say. Tuchel is being portrayed as the most unpopular individual in England since Braveheart. You know, that's what it looks like to me. You know, like Longshanks wants to get his hooks in him. And I don't know, man. And then a couple other things, too. Jude Bellingham, who had an incredible World Cup.
Yep.
What did he say to Messi, you think? that you know, Messi, this is now a new meme forever. You know, the nod of the head from Messi, like, okay, young buck, I hear you. What do you think he said to him?
Hey, I'll be honest. I don't know, but I love it.
Why?
I love it.
Okay.
Stand up. If you're going to do it, try to. I don't care who he is. Now, keep in mind, Jude Bellingham, Real Madrid player. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Barcelona, Lionel Messi. So naturally, there's going to be a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that you show respect to Lionel Messi and all that. But if I'm going to roll up my sleeves for 90 minutes, I don't care who you are on the other side of the field, I'm going to try to beat your brains in. So whatever he said, to me, that showed me Jude Bellingham was not scared of the moment. He was not scared of the opposition. He was ready for the moment, and he was brilliant in this World Cup. I don't think England's in the semifinal without Jude Bellingham. And the fact that 4 months before the tournament started, Thomas Tuchel was rumored of contemplating whether or not leaving Jude at home tells you how big of a you-know-what this is when it comes to Jude Bellingham, his interpretation, and his, I would say, reputation within this English team going into the World Cup. I don't understand that, and it still mind boggles me a little bit. But he stood up to Messi, and he said something to Messi. Now, what's wild about this game, Rich, and I wanted to text you during it, and sure, for some reason I got, is all of the nonsense off the ball, right? It just felt like Argentina was doing all those little things to get under the English skin. And yet, we saw players talking with their mouth closed. That was supposed to be a red card. We saw players get hit. Jude Bellingham hit an Argentine player on the back of his head. Any kind of head contact is a red card. It just felt like the World Cup semifinal that we all wanted, both on and off the field, if that makes any sense. There was a real angst to this. And you could tell that for a quarter century, Jude Bellingham in his, I would say, collection of players in his age group have heard how much they should hate Argentina. And we saw it. But Argentina was under their skin. And the referee allowed it just enough to get there.
Well,
I don't think Jude Bellingham asked Lionel Messi for his autograph. I don't think he asked for his kid after the game. I secretly love it. But right now, the only thing that matters is we're interviewing Lionel Messi about the World Cup final, and Jude Bellingham has to deflect questions about his manager after that manager questioned him and the players after Norway. What a 180 degrees different that is after the 60th minute.
And on behalf of England fans, I mean, Argentina clocked an English player in like the fifth minute, sixth minute. Like,
yep,
he could have been sent off with a red card on the spot, changed the entire tenor of things.
Yep.
They didn't even VAR that. There's a lot of question about not VARing the first goal for
was
Argentina.
Messi, I mean, to your point, Rich, we never saw a still photo of whether or not Messi was onside.
Right.
And throughout the entire tournament, we saw it. Even if he was a yard onside, they'd still show that. They never showed that.
Right. They didn't. And then one last thing. Bellingham sort of not really love tapping Barco afterwards.
Yes.
Did you see the video? We saw it 5 minutes before today. Barco ran on the field like he was a streaker after the first goal, after the equalizer for Argentina. And I guess, you know, Bellingham didn't like that and went right up to him after the match. He was on fire, man.
Yeah.
But no doubt frustrated.
In fairness, you're not on the field. Stay off the field.
Well, why do they allow everybody in the pennies to run on the field anyway? Like,
I don't know. It's hard for me to completely listen. You score a goal, you celebrate. Listen, Landon Donovan scored against Algeria in 2010. We all remember that goal. The entire U.S. bench was on top of him. It was a great moment. We saw Pochettino celebrate with Giovanni Reyna in this World Cup. I get it. I understand it. I also understand Jude Bellingham saying, you didn't play in this game, stay in your place. I kind of get that too. But the best interaction for me truly was Rodrigo de Paul. And I put this out on social media, the video.
Yeah.
Rodrigo de Paul and Jude Bellingham in each other's face. And Rodrigo de Paul got the yellow card, Jude Bellingham didn't. If you didn't see it, go to my X feed. Rich, it's real. There is and I said this before on your show on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most contentious World Cup rivalry. I'm not talking about rivalry in the game. because England-Germany is a bigger rivalry. But in just World Cup play, you'll be hard-pressed to find a more angry, contentious rivalry between two teams, two countries, and their fans. And that was the first time Lionel Messi ever played England, and now he'll be doing naked somersaults in English fans and the English players' minds for the rest of the summer because he delivered in the biggest moments.
No doubt, Taylor Twellman. All right, so in the few minutes I have left here, I mean, it was such an epic match, an epic game that, you know, we're kind of glossing over the fact that France got bounced and got totally pantsed, you know, and you were saying to us on Tuesday's show that Spain wins by death by a thousand passes. And as soon as they got that break for a penalty kick early on in the match, which I didn't know really was, should have been properly awarded. That was a hard one. What do you make of that performance and how it would work against Argentina?
I was a little surprised. I said on your show, I'd be shocked if France doesn't advance to the final. I'm way more stunned at how flat France was. Now, before I dive into the game, great nugget, though. You and I talked about this before the tournament started. How many games does one team play in climate-controlled stadiums? Spain has played six of their seven in climate-controlled stadiums. That's more than England, Argentina, and France. And they looked fresher. There was more energy. I'm not saying they would have won the game anyways. That game could have been played on the surface of the sun. Spain would have outplayed France. I'm not talking about that. But you follow what I'm saying.
Yes.
There was a real different energy. France looked slow, lethargic. They looked like the United States did against Belgium. They really did. Spain has been the best team in the tournament. Now, we haven't given them their proper due because in large part, it's not really star-driven. It's more about the collective. Lamine Yamal hasn't really done anything in this tournament. But collectively, the way they suffocate you is unlike any other team in this tournament. And they look like they had France by the jugular, and eventually France lost oxygen, and they couldn't survive. Spain was brilliant, and they could have scored the team goal of the tournament if that backheel combination, all that, turns into a goal. Now, here's where this gets interesting for the final. Emotionally, the Spanish fan knows the magnitude of Lionel Messi and what he did in Spain and in Barcelona. Now, Spain beat England in the European Cup final in 2024. I think emotionally, the Spanish fan would have rather played the English.
Uh-huh.
I really do. Because right now, including every Real Madrid fan who probably can't stand Messi, naturally, because of the rivalry of Barcelona. But every other Spanish fan is going to look at that and go, oh, God, really? Him? The guy that has single-handedly flipped our league upside down, set records for arguably the greatest club in the world? Like, Rich, that is going to be an emotional roller coaster for the Spanish fan. And you and I both know, New York, New Jersey Stadium will be Buenos Aires on Sunday at 3:00 in the afternoon. It just will. And good luck to Spain and those fans, because emotionally that's going to be very difficult for them to watch that little man that's run in their nightmares for how many years, all of a sudden playing the final game he's ever played, and it's a World Cup final.
And it is not climate controlled. And as a matter of fact, as you know, the fires in Canada, there's a lot of smoke that's coming down from the north, turning a lot of American cities in the Midwest and potentially even in New Jersey on Sunday into a smog and smoky environment. And then, you know, in terms of Lamine Yamal, Messi could turn to him and say, I'm your father. right? I mean, like, I can't believe this picture.
So great.
This is apparently real. Like, what is?
No, it's real.
For a charity,
it's real. There's a lottery. There was a lottery at Barcelona, and Messi only did this two or three times. 2007. By the way, this is great symmetry. I played against Lionel Messi that season in Venezuela. He wasn't even wearing number 10 for Argentina yet. Okay.
Yeah.
So for his mom and dad, Lamine Yamal, to win a lottery, where Messi only does this two or three times a year, and you get that anointment. How do you want me to articulate? That's divinity at its finest. What is that?
I saw that picture yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. This is real?
It's real.
It's real. Unbelievable, dude. Cannot make it up.
Bro.
I love our chats, Taylor. So enjoy the game. Enjoy the final. I will be, you know, I'll hit you up during the game if there's any questions. And then Monday show, you're back here to chop it up with us. I really, really appreciate it, bud. Thanks.
Love being on, my man.
Right
love being on. I love,
love having you. That's Taylor Twellman here. Boom. We got through our first of many World Cup chats without a hydration break. We just blew straight
look
through
at
it.
Us.
Because there's too much to talk about, man.
You want to do a double box?
Fox is pissed. No commercials.
No, it's okay. But listen, man.
Do a double box.
I love it. He loves Bellingham's moxie.
He had a great tournament.
Well, I mean, go right at him.
Yeah.
Loves it. I still can't believe that cross, that pass. Finding the one lid he has to find. And he intended to do it. How do you do that? How do you do it?
I don't know.
It's unreal.
It's the best.
And I just love Taylor's passion and knowledge and the combination. He's our favorite guest on this subject matter and all of them. It's just so much fun.
I mean, that picture is so unbelievable. I'm so too, glad, man, right?
I'm so glad we got IVs next to each other at the American Century Championship. To set it all up. All right, let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with your phone calls and more in a moment. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay. Save money on your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
A particular individual has taken the stage at Fanatics Fest. His name is LeBron James. Now, Dave McMenamin came on this program just yesterday.
Yesterday.
And said he was flying to New York.
Yep.
From a lengthy stint at the Summer League in Las Vegas.
Right.
Even though he would love to just tap out. Hang with
wanted to go on vacation.
Hang with his wife, who we all know, Malika Andrews, and just be after a long stretch. But LeBron has this whole thing of, you know, free agency going on for himself, biding his time. And he said he had how many? 4 public appearances in New York this week. Mm-hmm. Various things that he's doing. And the first one is today at Fanatics Fest. And did he mention you, Chris? Well, did something happen?
Dave is out there in the crowd. LeBron doing a Mind the Game live pod.
Okay, that's his pod.
Yeah, we've been on those stages. And Dave's out there kind of live tweeting what's going on.
And what?
Mike, if you got it, you can throw it up there. LeBron just played with the crowd a bit as to his decision. Quote, I hear the Warriors. I hear the Sixers. Also referenced our segment where I suggested the Heat would be a play-in team if he went there, and James would be a non-factor.
So we don't know how he's referenced it.
We don't.
So it's the verbal version of 22 laughing my ass off him.
I'm guessing that's what happened, yeah. That. Gotta get that.
It's still on. Chris!
I gotta get that.
You're tough to shake, man. Mm. You're tough to shake.
I really thought we had moved past this in the news cycle.
Nope.
We're on to something else.
Oh, TJ. TJ.
Yes.
This is good for you, though. This is what makes me happy. First of all, spell the show's name, right?
Most importantly.
I would like Dave. Maybe I should text him. He should at the handle.
Yeah, you could tag us.
You know?
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean, he's going fast. He's live tweeting kind of everything.
So this is a cliffhanger for hour 3. We got to get the sound. We got to get it.
I'm sure it's out there.
You know,
why'd you say it was good for me, though?
Because
you push back.
You push back.
Yeah, but we know how this works, right? Because this is just human beings. You could have 1,000 great comments praising you, but you're always going to look for the one negative.
Yep.
So even though you and I were positive for him, he don't care about that.
Right.
It's, the negative comment.
That's not true.
That's life.
He's not going to come out and say, I appreciate T.J. Jefferson pointing out I'm an average 21 points
a game. Or
I appreciate Rich Eisen pointing out that my performance got the Lakers to the second round despite the injuries that ravaged the roster. Yeah, no. I would love for him to point that out at Fanatics Fest, but instead, he does remember the negative.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I understand that. But that's just you being you. You get in there and you're like
Costanza.
Chris Brockman.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to respond to Dave's tweet with 22 crying emojis.
You could do that.
I reposted it on RX, so if anyone wants to peep it.
But I'm looking here and you're laughing, but not your ass off.
Well, I wish it would go away. But
why do you want it to go away?
I don't know.
Believe what you said.
I do.
This wasn't like an overreaction Monday segment where you're that's kind true. Of
like it's not the first time you said that.
I don't think Miami is going to be good next year.
Embrace it, Brock.
But
you said good luck.
I hope he enjoys
the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
And you said that we all need to get ready for him to be, you know,
he's a non-factor.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
MLB.TV on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.TV in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required, blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.